Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. A playwright named Archibald MacLeish has used the biblical book of Job in order to write a play in verse named J.B. God and Satan are played by two old circus vendors. J.B., of course, is the main character and fashioned after the biblical Job. J.B.'s life and fortune parallel closely the life and fortune of the biblical Job. At the beginning of the play, he has a beautiful wife, five wonderful children. His whole family is sitting down to a Thanksgiving dinner at which they recount their innumerable blessings. But those blessings soon turn to curses for J.B., even as they turn to curse for Job in the Bible. A son is killed while serving as an American soldier. Two more are killed in a car crash. A fourth is attacked behind the lumberyard and dies. The fifth perishes in a catastrophe that also destroys JB's bank and a whole block of businesses that he owns. Yet, like Job in the Bible, JB continues to praise the name of the Lord and implores his wife to do the same. At the time of a nuclear catastrophe, the only thing that JB has left is his wife, Sarah, who will not excuse God for all the tragedy that they have found in their lives, particularly as she is taunted by others in the nuclear fallout shelter in which they find themselves. This distance between praising and cursing God causes a split in the marriage of JB and of Sarah. As in the biblical book, three people are sent to JB to comfort him, but they offer very cruel counsel. And JB has finally had enough, and he shouts, "Oh, that I might know where to find him, that I might even come to his seat, that I would plead my cause before him and fill my mouth with argument." The distant voice, God, hears this challenge from JB and uses a paraphrase of some of the words that we had in our reading for today as the distant voice thunders, "Who is this that darkens counsel without knowledge? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" And then the distant voice goes on to use examples from earth, sky, land, and sea to prove God's omnipotence and Jacob's frailness and smallness. JB sees the error of his ways, falls on his knees with bowed head. He confesses his ignorance and his sin, and it is in that position, in the ash heap, that he sees God for the merciful God that God is. One of the old circus vendors has predicted this earlier in the play, as this circus vendor says, "It is from the ash heap that God is seen always. Always from the ash heap." Every saint and martyr knew that. So now JB has seen God not just from a position of blessings, but from the position in a heap of ashes. The two circus vendors believe that the play is over, but it is not. Sarah returns to JB, and JB asks her where she has been. And she says, "Where? I have been in the town which is full of ashes, a mountain of ashes." And then she looks in her hand, carrying a sprig of forsythia, and she says, "Among the ashes, it was growing among the ashes, gold, as if it did not know." The forsythia is a flowering spring bush, resplendent with yellow or golden flowers. Sarah saw it growing out of the ashes of destruction. Has she seen the possibility of something new out of the ashes, even as JB, out of the heap of ashes, has truly seen God? The fortune of Sarah and JB seems to go from ashes to more bitter ashes, but by the end of the play, it seems to say something about new life rising from the ashes. The book of Job is probably 3,000 to 4,000 years old. Sometime later, the Greek mythologists would take this theme of new life from ashes using the bird, the phoenix. You've heard of this. The phoenix, a bird that lives to perhaps 500 years, but then dies in a huge explosion, combustion of flames, but then out of the ashes rises the new phoenix. It is not hard to apply that ashes to new life theme in our life today. The most literal application would be the message that we offer at the time of death in our churches. This has been a particularly hard couple of weeks for Bethel in the way of death. 4 deaths, and yesterday one lying at death's door. 7 minutes before the worship service last night, 5:53 p.m., got word from a family member that this fifth one, a beloved named Francis, has died as well. It is not uncommon to feel great grief at the loss of someone that we love. But in our Christian proclamation, we demand that we go beyond that mourning and that grief to claiming the promises that we have in Christ. Says Jesus in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? But Job did not have those promises of Christ. Christ would not come for more than 1,000 years after Job lived. So there must be some other application to this new life coming out of the ashes for a person like Job. Maybe we can be helped just a little bit by a use of a part of Psalm 23 as well, about 3,000 years old, set to music. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Job experienced unimaginable loss. Family, home, business, his own health. And out of those losses, he challenges God and God's goodness. Where could God possibly be in all of this trauma? And beyond his personal loss, he looks out into the world and he sees a world full of violence. He sees evil people. Where could God be in this wickedness? Are we that far from that? Now, you may or may not be going through a personal time of ashes. Some of the harder stories of life come to the pastor's doors in this church and many churches across the world. We hear stories of people in economic ruin, of personal relationships in tatters, health challenges, addictions. There are so many ways in which people are sitting in the ashes of life. But beyond those personal stories, we also hear the challenges, the worries about those larger issues that happen on page one of every newspaper. We worry about war and peace. We have no idea what to do about immigration in our country or most any country. We are paralyzed by stories of crime, and we cringe when countries threaten tariffs against one another. With great nerves, we watch the Dow Jones average or the success or lack of success of DMC and the Mayo Civic Center. We watch employment statistics. There's so many things out of our control. And there are so many then who just sit in the ashes. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. The truth is, Job had every reason to sit in the ashes over all that he had lost. The truth is, there are people in our day who have every reason to sit in the ashes. Perhaps a South Carolina lawmaker named Katie Arrington, who a few weeks ago beat a sitting U.S. Congress representative in a primary, but just 2 days ago suffered a head-on car crash with a wrong-way driver. Now, instead of campaigning for a position that she wants and maybe deserves, she will spend weeks in a hospital and months of recovery out of the ashes. Or maybe it's the people of Hawaii who literally have seen their homes reduced to ash over volcanic flow. Maybe it's the scores, the hundreds, the thousands that come to the Mayo Clinic desperately seeking an answer that other healthcare providers have not been able to find. What is your story? Are you going through any ashes in your lives? If not, you would be unusual. But for those who are dealing with ashes, do we sometimes challenge God? Job did. God is big enough to accept those challenges. God even welcomes those challenges. But God was clear with Job. God will be clear with us as well. God is creator. Job is not, and we are not. We are not those who can create a baby and the Grand Canyon. So it is that we worship a God, whether from the ash heap or from a mountain of blessings. For we have one who would shepherd us to the living waters. Shepherd me, O God, beyond my wants, beyond my fears, from death into life. Amen. Hymn 830, sung to a more familiar tune, please rise and sing.